Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Last week, I discussed the claim that Jews are orchestrating the gigantic anti-Israel movement on college campuses in the U.S. and the West, which is pretty obviously not true. Though I do agree that the anti-Zionist protesters are very foolish to give full trust or, the gods forbid, leadership positions to Jews showing up to help them, or perhaps I should say, quote-unquote, help them. Everyone, even the youngest and the most naive, should know by now the by way of deception tricks that they're so famous for, and the deep cover they're often able to assume with state-level actors like the U.S. and Israel behind them. But these campus protests against Israeli brutality and genocide, as much as they're a wonderful sign that Jews are now regarded by the rising generation as a lot less sacred than they used to be, have an Achilles heel. They're anti-racial, and they're multiracial, and so they are unable to see or admit how the world really is. Many of these protesters, especially the white ones, are psychologically tied to the concept that even though whiteness equals oppression, race really doesn't matter. Something that the Jews implanted in their brains, though they don't know it, so they can't see the tribe as the uniquely malevolent race that they are, a race that is programmed by its genes to live as a parasite off other peoples. So naturally, they see Zionism as the problem, instead of the Jewish race itself. Some even say that Zionism is a tool of white privilege, a brand of insanity hardly worthy of analysis. So if a Jew says he has abandoned Zionism and now opposes it, the pro-Palestine protesters see him instantly and unreservedly as one of their own and embrace him. Now, recently, the name of the widely hated leftist Jewish billionaire, George Soros, has been invoked by some hyper-philo-Semitic conservative Christian news outlets and Republican figures like Ted Cruz and Lara Trump, who want us to believe that Soros is paying the protesters to set up their campus encampments. Cruz said recently on X, quote, "The anti-Semitic protests at universities are funded by George Soros and the Rockefeller Brothers Fund. These groups are responsible for Jewish students being terrified to go to campus because their lives are being threatened," close quote. And Cruz then added in his podcast, quote, "This is not ordinary political speech. This is not within the mainstream of discussions. These are radicals who hate Jews, who are bigots, who are violent, who are threatening violence, who are threatening as far as murder." Well, at three colleges, the protesters are being encouraged by paid radicals, and we now actually can follow the money. We have some specificity. Those paid radicals are called fellows of a Soros-funded group called the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, USCPR. Now, USCPR pays up to $7,800 for its community-based fellows, and between $2,880 and $3,660 for its campus-based fellows in return for spending 8 hours a week. And by the way, $7,800, that's $8,000 for 8 hours a week. Yeah, that's $1,000 an hour. That's like bribery to students almost. That's big money. Look, that's real money. And there's a reason why these folks are showing up. You know what? If you work at Soros's Open Society, you're responsible for Jewish students being terrified to go to campus because their lives are being threatened. Is there anybody that holds them accountable? These people ought to be pariahs. These people ought to be treated just as if they're wearing KKK robes because they are, functionally. Close quote. I should mention that Cruz here is totally distorting the amount of money involved, which no one ever said was $7,800 a week. That's his invention. The total amount was $7,800 for the most highly paid activist. But Cruz, who postures as an Hispanic, so no one can call him white, actually wants his dim bulb followers to think George Soros, a Jew, is paying numerous people $1,000 an hour to threaten Jews. Hilarious. The evidence for Soros masterminding the campus protests is ridiculously thin and essentially meaningless. But it is funny to see stupid conservatives get branded as anti-Semitic by the ADL for calling out Soros as himself some kind of anti-Semite for opposing Israel. I am sure this causes real anguish on the part of the more sincere kind of idiotic Christian conservatives, since they really do worship Israel and Jews as a kind of divine manifestation on our planet. So anti-Semitism is surely the most mortal of mortal sins to them. That they should support their own race instead of Jews is simply unthinkable for them, boiled as they are in the teachings of the Jewish Bible for their entire lives. The evidence for Soros funding the protests is thin because only a tiny percentage of groups participating in the campus actions have been shown to have any Soros connection. And that thin evidence is essentially meaningless, because everyone knows that, one, George Soros doesn't really favor Israel and has never done so, except perfunctorily, and has publicly stated that much anti-Semitism is directly caused by Israeli actions and pro-Israeli U.S. actions. And two, Soros funds thousands of left-wing organizations and indirectly pays the salaries of perhaps hundreds of thousands of their employees. So the fact that a handful of, how many did Ted Cruz name, maybe three, campus speakers and protesters are working for Soros-linked groups is hardly surprising or significant. In fact, I'm astounded that they didn't find 10 or 100 times that number. I doubt that there is any left-leaning cause in which his tentacles do not intrude. But none of that means that college students and young people generally are not genuinely outraged by Israel's brutal war on innocent Gentiles. They are. And none of that cancels out the fact that to a whole new generation, for whom World War II is about as distant as the Franco-Prussian War is for us, and for whom Christianity is a greatly diminished force, Jews are simply not sacred anymore. And that is a wonderful development. I hope we can take advantage of it. What is true, however, about the Soros connection is that he represents one side of a false dichotomy. Our people are channeled into supporting either hyper-aggressive Zionist right-wing Jews, usually by so-called conservative politicians and news sites, this side, being typified by Jewish Republican megadonor Jeffrey Yass, the richest man in Pennsylvania, by the way, and a major funder of Donald Trump's Truth Social and his ilk, all of whom are absolutely dedicated to making conservatism a non-racial and Jew-friendly movement. Or they are channeled into supporting anti-Zionist Marxists and quasi-Marxists, all of whom also happen to be extremely anti-white. This side being typified by Jewish billionaire George Soros and his ilk. Both sides are Jewish-funded and Jewish-controlled. Both sides are dedicated to the very Jewish proposition that all our nations must be multiracial and that all our nations must be mass democracies. Both sides are absolutely opposed to the very idea of a white nation for white people anywhere on earth, which, of course, is the only means by which our race can survive. Therefore, both sides are totally dedicated to the death of the white race. Both sides think an America and Europe with infinity Africans and brown people is a good, even essential, thing. Those two choices, presented in the controlled media as the only choices, are no choices at all. Essentially, the Jews are asking us, would you like to die by arsenic while wearing a business suit and a red ball cap? Or would you like to die by strychnine while wearing blue jeans and a Free Palestine t-shirt? Some choice. Therefore, we need to dedicate all our waking hours to doing whatever it takes to overthrow Jewish power and influence over our people, especially their media monopoly power and the fake Jewish morality which underlies Christianity, both of which underlie all of their illegitimate power over our folk. And we mustn't waste any of our precious time taking sides in the Semite versus Semite war in the Middle East, with the one exception that we should do our utmost to stop the funding of all Jewish projects of any kind whatsoever, including Israel, and also including all their efforts to multiracialize white nations. Should we engage with any of these young protesters? Yes. I think that there are some white men and women among them who have already halfway thrown off the Jewish shackles on their minds and souls. They need to hear the National Alliance message, as do all salvageable white souls from Vladivostok to Lisbon, from Oslo to Johannesburg, from Fairbanks to Tierra del Fuego. They need to understand that not only are Jews not oppressed or sacred in any way, not only are Jews not deserving of any special protections, nor deserving even of the special term anti-Semitism used to pathologize and criminalize any opposition to them, but they are a deadly intrusion into our culture and nations that is a direct threat to our survival, every bit as much as they are a direct threat to the survival of various Middle Eastern nations. In fact, I say we need and deserve a special term to be universally applied to anyone who opposes the continued existence and evolution of the white race. And they very much need to understand, more than they need to understand anything else, who we are. They need to understand that we of European descent are the special ones, the chosen ones, chosen not by imaginary Jehovah or any fake god like him, but by nature herself, by evolution, by the working out of the continuing natural processes that brought energy and matter and life into existence. If anyone is close to the divine, we are. We who have given this earth 99% of its greatest inventions and discoveries. We without whom the more servile races would still be living in medieval conditions, and without whom the lower races would still be living in Stone Age conditions. We without whom the chances of the life force transcending the inevitable doom of this solar system are exactly zero. We are not only closer to the divine, but are in fact the living agents of divine providence, and it is the sin beyond all sins if we are prevented from continuing and further purifying ourselves and reaching our destiny.